I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's time to do the podcast. Welcome to Unfeatured Articles. Hello and welcome. There we are.
Oh, have boy. A stroke, dickhead.
Hello. And welcome to Unfeatured Articles. We're back again.
Hello again.
Episode 2 this journey, and I'm losing it. I'm losing it already. It'll just be sounds by the end of this run. We are back. We're back in the studio again. I keep saying we're back, but we're back.
Exciting.
It's true. So we're recording in batches. This is the second episode. We just recorded the Song of Ice and Fire one, so it still feels like it's fresh. It's new, and we're back again, which is exciting as always. And I hope you guys are excited as well. This time we're doing Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yes.
Yu-Gi-Oh! We're doing the extended, just the whole kind of extended fiction of Yu-Gi-Oh! The anime, the cards, the
absolutely.
Everything.
But for those of you who might not be regular listeners, yes. Or you're jumping on for the first time,
yes.
What do we do, James?
What do we do? Well, we three, my name is James Keogh, and I'm joined, of course, by Curtis Lang.
G'day.
And Riley McNamara.
Hello.
The three of us every week, we take on a new wiki, a new sort of internet page about a certain realm
fandom.
Of fiction. Fandom. And we talk about oddly obscure, weird, cool bits from there and just look at these strange realms of fiction.
Some of the articles that you might say.
Ooh, what might I say?
Unfeatured.
Uh-huh.
But they might be unfeatured.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, let's get started.
Let's go.
Let's
go.
Do it.
Let's move
knowing
swiftly
that
on.
These articles are unfeatured.
Yeah.
As one may mention.
James, this was your idea. This wiki was your idea.
I brought this one in because I watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Growing up, and I played Yu-Gi-Oh! Growing up.
I didn't.
No, I weren't a big Yu-Gi-Oh!
No,
I heard somewhere through the grapevine that you may have been second in Australia for...
Okay, all right. Now, this is an exaggeration.
Uh-huh.
Blatant lie. I was third in Queensland.
Third in Queensland. That's it. I was misremembering. I apologize.
Sorry about that.
Tell me about your Yu-Gi-Oh! Upbringing, your Yu-Gi-Oh! Stories.
I don't know, man. I just played the card game a lot.
Yeah.
And I got too into it. Me and my good friends. You know, Tully Grimley.
Oh,
yeah. Our dear friend Tully. Tully gave me my first, like, actual deck.
Oh, cool.
Like, I was into it when I was a kid, but then, like, I fell off, and then I got back into it, and Tully was like, you should come play this. And and then me and my good friend Tully and Sam Metty and Will Collins, we would play all the time.
Yes.
And my schoolies experience, actually, and I stand by this because I had a fucking great time.
Yeah.
I was drunk for a week straight at Stradbroke Island, and I just swam, ate, and played Yu-Gi-Oh! With my friends. It was fucking
That sounds
delightful.
Incredible.
It
I love
delightful.
It.
That doesn't sound too bad.
No, it was awesome.
No, yeah. Couldn't ask for a better
anyway,
week.
So, yeah, anyway, and then I...
There you go.
And then in 2014, I came third in Queensland.
You say that like it's the thing you're ashamed of, but that's
hey, I
awesome.
Won $200, man.
Yeah, dude, that's so good.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Jesus, that's all right.
Dude, it was a marketable skill. I went to school with the number 2 in the world.
Wow.
Of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Was dude, Seto a good guy? Or?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What a reference.
I love it. I love these deep Yu-Gi-Oh! Pulls. Everyone's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan.
You
Let's
can't
be real.
Not
be.
You know? Can't not be. People like to pretend that it's Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! There's nothing in that.
You can have both.
You can have both. But everyone knows.
I have both
Everyone knows that, one, the better card game is Yu-Gi-Oh!
Uh-huh.
Two, if you're searching your soul, the better TV show is Yu-Gi-Oh!
Honestly,
ooh,
like,
contentious.
The arcs, it's like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
Anyway.
Moving swiftly along.
All right.
I want to talk about... See, here's the thing with Yu-Gi-Oh! And the reason the show is so cool is that in the original series, there were the god cards and there was Exodia,
yeah,
these kind of mythical beasts who were all, you know, in Egyptian mythology, and then they, you know, came
well, into, inspired by inspired Egyptian by mythology, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And then later on, there were just more of cards of this type, leading to, in the recent series, in the recent kind of cards, the Earthbound Immortals.
Yeah.
So Earthbound Immortals, known as Earthbound Gods, the cards are a sub-archetype of the Earthbound archetype,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. They are based on, you know, the Nazca lines in Peru,
yeah,
like
yeah.
these big lines and the, yeah. There's seven of them, each one based on a different one of
that's
the
cool.
Nazca lines. Each of them are
pictured. Sorry, just to interrupt. What? Because I haven't heard of these ones because I haven't played in a couple years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is this like very recent?
This is I think it's the most recent or the second most recent anime series. So, you know, around that time.
Yeah. Is it called Arc or is it called Zexal?
It is 5Ds.
Oh, 5Ds?
Yes.
Oh, that's quite a while ago, actually.
Oh, really?
Because it goes Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX,
yep.
Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds,
yep.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5, and then there's a new one that I just have no idea what it's called.
Called Vrains or
something? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. The names just get stupider as you go.
But the show just stays top quality.
Everyone railed on GX. I quite liked GX. Mm. To be honest, it got like the deepest that any of them did, I think, into like the rules of how the game was played.
Oh, cool.
Like realistically how the game was played. So,
I like 5D because they had fucking motorbikes.
Card games on motorcycles.
That's exactly
which in like episode 2 or 3 of our first season, you just said that into the microphone. And like, it was just like, and no one reacted to it.
We're all about deep Yu-Gi-Oh! Pulls on this
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Show.
Pulls.
Oh,
there's a history of deep
It's been there since day one.
Keep talking to me about these cards.
So the Earthbound Immortals, they are the evil incarnations that were sealed away in the underworld by the Crimson Dragon and its servants 5,000 years before the events of Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds.
Sure.
These malicious entities were released as the result of the Zero Reverse incident.
Absolutely.
They serve as the ace monsters of the Darksigners, possessing them to serve as gatekeepers of Old Ender D.
Beautiful.
Which serves as the entrance to the underworld.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What piqued my interest about these cards is that they are kind of like the god cards and Exodia. Exodia, if you have all five pieces of Exodia, you win the game. If they're in your hand, you win the game. Equally, all of these cards, they're level 10 cards and they're so OP, it's fantastic. One, which is, I believe it's the blue one, called Kakapik Apu.
Sorry, one more time.
Bless you.
Kakapik. I can't even say it a second time. So no, you don't get a second time. Earthbound Immortal Kakapik Apu. Basically, his effect is...
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, no, I'm all over the place.
Oh, no.
I gotta say,
I'm so happy about this because we're just literally talking about, like,
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Literal Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
It's great.
I'm having a great time.
So you play this card. It's a level 10 card. So what, you have to sacrifice
three?
Yeah. Got to sacrifice three monsters. There can only be one Earthbound Immortal monster on the field.
Okay.
If there is no face-up field spell card on the field, destroy this card. So you have to have at least a field spell card in play for the card to be in play. Your opponent cannot target this card for attacks. This card can attack your opponent directly. If this card destroys an opponent's monster by battle, inflict damage to your opponent equal to the destroyed monster's attack. So basically, if you put it on the field,
Jesus Christ,
your opponent can't attack it. It can attack your opponent directly. And if it defeats an opponent's enemy, it also attacks the thing directly.
Yeah, right.
That's a fairly good card.
That's a pretty good card.
That is a fairly good card.
That's a pretty good card.
Especially considering... Sorry, 2 seconds. I'm just this card destroys an opponent's monster by battle. Yeah, man. So especially even if you destroy it while it's in defense mode, because usually when a card is in defense mode, you lose life points because life points are calculated only when two cards attack each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's the difference between the two attack numbers. If a card's in defense, you don't lose any. But that way, you... Not only they don't just lose the difference between the attacks, they lose the entirety of the value of the monster's attack, which is pretty insane.
Pretty insane. Yeah. That is essentially my thing on Earthbound Immortals. Special mentions though, because I was looking at the characters from the anime, and so in the first season, there are a lot of minor characters who just kind of have names. Like, they don't need to have names, but they do have names, but they're bad names. So there's one, and he's this like superstar. He's like a Hollywood actor. His name is Jean-Claude Magnum.
Oh, yes. I love Jean-Claude Magnum. I forgot about how stupid some of the characters on Yu-Gi-Oh are.
Yeah, there's Jean-Claude Magnum. There's Alex Brisbane.
Fuck yeah.
Alex Brisbane is a character. He was in the Capsule Monsters season of the
which is
first.
Which is non-canon, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's funny. But his name, his literal name is Dr. Alex Brisbane. There's a man called Croquet, who is Maximilian Pegasus's like right hand man.
Yeah, dude. He's an awesome character.
Croquet?
Yeah.
His name is Croquet.
Yeah.
Why?
He's got a good mustache.
The thing is, like, whenever any of these characters would play the game within the context of the show, they would always have like a niche.
So that's like
such a stupid character, Bandit Keith.
Bandit Keith.
Bandit Keith, who would just have like, who had a machine deck and was like, I'm all about machines, man. And
that was the America guy,
right? Such an American dude. And there was this guy in the early episodes of the second season of the original series called like Johnny Stars or like Johnny. It was like such just LA stage name.
Yeah.
And he had like all rock star cards.
Amazing.
It was so stupid, man. I have such a fond place in my heart for this show.
Johnny Steps.
Was it.
That's the guy.
There it is.
I'm looking through the names now because they're all ridiculous.
He would refer to himself in the third person as well. Oh.
So good.
This is too much for Johnny Steps.
Jesus Christ.
So good.
So good. Well, that's my bit on these monsters and these characters.
I love it.
Riley, what do you got?
All right, so I'm going to talk about a card.
Yeah.
Specifically a card. This card is called the Blindly Loyal Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good card, actually.
All right, so Blindly Loyal Goblin. It is a monster card. Its attribute is Earth. It is a warrior effect card. It's level 4. He has 1,800 attack points and 1,500 defense points. And his effect is that as long as the card remains face up on the field, control of the card cannot switch. So in Yu-Gi-Oh, as anybody who's seen particularly the first series will be familiar with, there's a lot of like cards that let you like take your opponent's cards and use them, grab control of them. This one is not, you can't do that.
Oh, damn.
And I found him because I was looking through... they have a section where they just like look through the card rulings.
Yeah.
I found him just by like of like previously official rulings for Blindly Loyal Goblin.
I'm seeing a lot of red here. I'm gonna
talk about some.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so jumping in. If your opponent takes control of your Blindly Loyal Goblin with Change of Heart card and flips it face up, control of the monster does not return to you. So I'm assuming that's
Change of Heart, I believe.
Just look that up.
Yeah, Change of Heart allows you to take an opponent's monster and place it on your side of the field in face-down defense position.
Yeah.
Doesn't say, it just says target one monster your opponent controls, take control of it until the end phase.
No, okay, maybe then if you took control of it, placed it in face-down defense position, and then flipped it face up, that would therefore be your card now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so you could game that.
True.
That's why I love this game. Like, there's so many, like,
you can really, yeah.
It's actually very well put together card game.
It's incredible. Considering the fact that they have been making cards.
Right.
Since 1994.
And to have it balanced.
And to have it all balanced.
You know,
the list of cards that are banned in this game is not long.
Yeah.
Whereas Magic the Gathering, for
Magic the Gathering, you can only, to play the official game.
They outlaw basically every year a whole year's worth of stuff. To play the official game,
you can only use cards from that
season of releases.
That's right.
So to play the game professionally, you have to continuously be updating. That's why it's just such a money drainer.
Exactly.
You can play, like a lot of people just play like legacy version, which is like you can use anything.
Yeah.
But free digital game out now.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's Thank a you, new Zach. Magic the Gathering.
All right, some more of Blindly Loyal Goblin's rulings.
Yes, yes.
If you special summon your opponent's Blindly Loyal Goblin with Monster Reborn or remove Brainwashing... Oh, hang on. With Monster Reborn and remove Brainwashing is activated, control of Blindly Loyal Goblin does not return to your opponent. So they can't get it back.
Oh.
If you can steal it off them, that's all good.
That's all yours.
Your opponent cannot use Change of Heart, Snatch, Steal, or Brain Control on your face-up Blindly Loyal Goblin. So some of these cards are just completely ineffective against this little bastard.
Damn.
Neither player can activate Creature Swap if the only monster you control is Blindly Loyal Goblin. If you control Blindly Loyal Goblin and one other monster, when Creature Swap is activated, you must select the other monster. So that would be like, can you imagine... Now, I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! Properly, possibly ever. But I'm imagining, like, you know, you've got your opponent's got a Blindly Loyal Goblin and then, like, fucking Slifer on the field.
Sure. Yeah.
And you play Creature Swap and you give them a Kariba. And they have to give you their Slifer. And
that's fine.
Well,
this, I'm just throwing it out there.
If you're using the actual versions of the cards, because, ones that you would know, like, the one. You're not actually anything technically from, allowed to use them in games. There are printed versions of them which have the card's effects printed on them as well that you can use. However, they're not like the colored versions of the cards.
Okay.
Yeah. So the god cards.
So if you play Slifer, I don't think magic cards actually work against
it. Right. Well, let's say like a Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon.
There you go. Then. That'll do.
Okay.
That'll do it.
Sorry, mate.
You get it. Thanks, boys. Get in on a technicality.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, all right. So if you've got a, you can stitch them up like that. If your opponent tries to use Change of Heart on your face down Blindly Loyal Goblin and you chain Ceasefire to flip it face up, the effect of Change of Heart is negated. So that's like one of those ones where it's like fucking, well, you just activated my trap card. Whoa, well, that activates my trap card. Right. Oh, well, then I play this card. And then, oh, that activates my other trap card.
Yeah.
Anyone who's seen Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge, that shit is nuts.
Screw the rules. I have money.
Screw the money. I have rules. Yeah, so like basically Blindly Loyal Goblin, there's a lot of little effects in there.
Yeah.
It's that OP. Just nerf kind it. Of it yeah, it's nerf it. Burn it.
Burn it.
Ban it.
Ban it.
Burn it, ban it. Get it out of here.
What you got, Yu-Gi-Oh Master?
Yeah, this could be a while.
Boys, school us.
Strap in everybody.
Boys, I'm gonna talk about Ojama cards.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Let me show you a picture, which I'm also gonna put in the thing. These are Ojama cards.
Oh, ooh. It's so frightening.
Yeah, they're like little yikes. They're little like
goblin demons.
Japanese goblin demons that are like slightly like chibi, which is like an anime thing of like, it's meant to be like stylized cute kind of drawings of actual characters, but like these are just like terrifyingly upsetting.
Yes.
However, Ojama cards are pretty rubbish. Okay. So, for example, let me tell you about... so there are three versions of the thing. There's Ojama Green, Ojama Yellow, and Ojama Black. Those cards, I believe, have zero attack and 200 defense each.
Oh boy!
And they're two stars.
That's pretty rubbish.
No, they all have 1,000 defense. I apologize, but they've got zero attack.
Yeah, no attack.
However, when you put them together and you have an Ojama focused deck, they become ridiculously powerful.
How?
So, through a number of ways.
Okay.
There are a couple of cards called there are a couple of fusion cards. Yeah. So fusion is when you fuse.
If one's not called Ojama Rama, then it's a fucking there is a card waste of
Ojama,
time.
There is a card called Ojama Rama.
Yes.
Good. Jesus Christ.
So fusion monsters, you fuse a couple of monsters together, they form a new powerful monster.
Yeah.
There's one called Ojama King and Ojama Knight. So Ojama Knight has zero attack and 2,500 defense.
Okay.
Ojama King has 3,000 defense and zero attack.
That's cool.
What you can do is you can then use a certain card which allows you to swap the attack and defense of creatures, thereby giving you two quite powerful monsters. And if you, because you can have three of each, because, okay, in Yu-Gi-Oh! You can have, with just normal non-limited or non-banned cards, you can have three of each in your deck.
Yeah.
So that gives you then, if you can easily fuse three Ojamas together in each, you get three Ojama Kings. That's three cards that have 3,000 attack.
That's not bad
at all.
Pretty
that's
good.
All right. That's pretty good.
So, but it goes a bit further than that. So that's just a pretty basic way.
Yeah.
There is a style of play called Lockdown, which pretty much it means you have either partial or complete control of the field.
Yeah.
One of my mates does that in Magic. He has a blue-white deck, and it is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life.
It is incredibly frustrating.
Yes.
To come up against. Let me... Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Wikipedia. These wikis, they don't like you. They don't like phones.
Yeah, they're not particularly well-formatted.
So Ajama Lockdown... this lockdown relies on using the effects of cards such as Ajama Trio and Ajama Knight. So Ajama Trio has the effect... Sorry, no, Ajama Knight. Ah, oh, Jesus Christ. Ah, oh, my word. This wiki is not liking my thing at all. All right, I'm just going to search up a picture of the card.
Yeah.
Talk amongst yourselves, boys.
Okie dokie.
Have you played Yu-Gi-Oh before, James? Like,
Yeah, I played it in high school. I was never like... good. Like I never like took the time with it.
I'm back.
Yeah.
All right.
Good chat.
Yeah, nice.
See you next week. Soon.
Special summon 3 Ajama tokens. So just 3 just basic monsters. So beast type light, level 2, attack 0, defense 1000 to your opponent's field in defense position. They cannot be tributed or tribute summoned, and each time one is destroyed, the controller takes 300 damage.
Mm.
So if they destroy them,
yeah,
via their own, like if they go, I need to get rid of these so I can like summon shit, and they destroy them, they take 300 damage.
Yeah,
so there's a bit of a negative outpost there.
Yeah,
they can't be tributed or sacrificed as anything. So you've lost 3 zones of your monster zone.
Yeah,
if you do that twice, you've lost all 5.
Yeah,
Ajama Knight, on the other hand, wait, you played in high school, James?
I did. This is the same way of like vamping. Yeah. I love it.
I know. Select up to 2 of your opponent's monster card zones. The selected card zones cannot be used at all.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah.
Jesus.
So, you can't do, you just can't use the monster zones anymore. Then there are cards that allow you to lock down magic zones as well. Okay. So, you can't use magic cards. So, pretty much the aim of this kind of lockdown strategy is to make it so that your opponent literally can't use any of the zones.
Yeah.
And they can't do anything. So, they have to surrender.
Yikes.
Yeah. So that's what a lockdown deck is, and it's one of the most frustrating things of all time. I have an Ajama lockdown deck. It's very fun to play. It's very hard to master, but very fun to play.
Yeah, it sounds it.
Yeah. I've also got an Exodia Mega Draw deck, which is a lot of fun. Because the idea of the deck is to just play as many cards, is just to have one massive turn.
Yeah.
Where you just keep playing, because you can play unlimited magic cards in a turn.
Yes. Yeah.
You can only normal summon once and a monster and tribute summon once.
Once, yeah.
Normal summon, tribute summon is included in normal summon, special summon once, normal summon once.
Sure.
Magic cards, however, you can do whatever you want. So the aim is to just have this massive long turn where you just keep drawing, where you just play effects that allow you to keep drawing cards until you draw Exodia and win.
That is really cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds it.
But yeah, there's my little insight into some of the mechanics of
I really want to get back into Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah, right?
Should we do that as a podcast?
I came into this and I was like, oh, there's got to be a lot of cool, weird Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff. And then I was like reading a lot of articles and I was like, I want to get back into Yu-Gi-Oh!
Boys, I found my, I got all my, I have a, there's a drawer in my room that contains all of my cards.
We're coming over.
We're having a match. I have a folder, a binder of cards that is worth $3,000.
Hell yeah, dude.
Come to my house, steal my shit. Now, anyway.
Oh, yes.
James, so, have you got another game for us?
Finish it off for the episode. I've got a special surprise for you, boys. Let me go enjoy it. This one's one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
That I've devised.
Have you brought Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Is it just Yu-Gi-Oh?
I have props.
he's got props. He's in his bag.
This is an auditory medium.
No, I mean, I have props myself.
Okay.
So, this is a game.
What's the title of the game?
The title of the game is... Hold on. Oh, gosh.
If it's not as good as Rate That Paint, I'm Rate That Paint disappointed.
You came out of the gate flying with Rate That Paint.
I did. Okay, this is a game called Level 10 Monster Card or Thing I Just Made Up. Here we go.
I love it.
So this is a game I'm going to give you a series.
Welcome to Level 10 Monster Card or Thing I Just Made Up. This is our host, James Keogh.
Really excited to be here, James.
I'm going to give you guys a series of names.
Yep.
And then you guys are going to tell me which one is an actual legitimate name of a Level 10 Monster Card in Yu-Gi-Oh! And what is just...
Why specifically level 10?
Oh, the name... you'll learn. You'll find out. Right, the names get Interesting.
There are not a lot of level 10 cards, actually, in Yu-Gi-Oh.
177 of them.
Yeah, which, yeah. like, considering...
Compared to the amount of cards that there are.
Amount of cards
yeah.
there are, yeah.
Okay, here we go. So, first round. So, we have Thalton, the Light Eater, or Elemental Hero, Electrum. Which one is a level 10 monster card, and which one is a name I just came up with?
See, I want to go the one that sounds obviously made up, but that is also pushing me away from it because it could very well be
okay.
a card.
My thought here is that Elemental Hero is an archetype of card.
Yeah.
So I think James has seen that and gone, this is an easy way to fool the boys.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with that the card is actually... And I don't know a lot about Elemental Heroes. I never really use them.
Yeah.
So I'm out of my depth here. So I'm going to go with Thalton, the Light Eater? Thalton, the Light Eater. Nah, okay. Actually, that does sound like something James... I'm sticking with my answer. It's Thalton, the Light Eater.
I'm going to go the other one.
Elemental Hero.
Ooh, okay. So, cover your bases. The correct answer is the one that is real, Elemental Hero Electrum.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been taken down. I like this game a lot.
This is a good game. Yeah. Here we go. Is it Deskbot Jet?
Yep.
Or Shining Whistle?
It's Deskbot Jet is the real one.
Deskbot Jet is the real
Deskbot
one?
Deskbot Jet is the real one, yes.
Yeah, Riley? Yep.
Yeah, you've got an expert on your side. You know what's up. It is Deskbot Jet.
Yeah. Shining Whistle. I wouldn't put it fucking past them, though.
Right.
Dude, there are some weird cards, all right?
Like, I know there are.
Is it Dark Lord Desire or Misery Anchor?
Misery Anchor, because it's funny.
No, it's Dark Lord Desire, I'm pretty sure.
It is Dark Lord Desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misery Anchor is still funny. I'm going to name my band that.
Hang on, can I just... That's just made me think of... there's this fucking episode in the first series where Joey plays a card called Kunai with Chain. And his stupid Brooklyn accent, he just goes, Kunai with Chain! And there was like a period of like 6 months in year 11 where me and my friend Lachlan Robinson would just send that 3 second clip to each other of just you screaming Kunai with Chain.
Jesus.
All right. Imperion Magnum, the superconductive battle bot, or insurmountable terror anger driver. Which one is real and which one is a thing I made up?
Let me let you into James Keogh's thinking here. He's seen the first one and gone, that's just words, and gone, I'm going to make up another one with just words and made up the second one. It's the first one. The first one is true. Yeah.
Riley, what do you think?
Curtis jumped on that real quick.
He does have the confidence.
I'm guessing it's got to be.
Imperium Magnum, the superconductive battle bot, is the correct one.
Yeah. Then what a fucking name.
You were just like, that's just fucking words.
That's
isn't
just
it?
Words. Elite Superior Turon Phase 3 or True Stardust Spark Dragon Chronicle?
The first one.
You got a bit lazy towards the end, didn't you? I did.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the first one.
Is the real one?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, shit!
True Stardust Spark Dragon Chronicle is a real Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Fuck. No, it's not.
It is.
One of the ones that got bitten.
Fucking hell.
Oh, boy.
What was it?
True Stardust Spark Dragon Chronicle. Obviously.
They're just fucking words.
That's just words. Let's see.
They are all adjectives except for dragon.
So let's do Hot Red Dragon Archfield Bane or Impossible Inter Barrier Dragon.
Okay, can
Impossible
I just
Inter Barrier Dragon.
Really quickly interrupt you boys.
Yeah.
It was called that in the manga. However, on the actual English card, it is called Stardust Chronicle Spark Dragon, which makes a little bit more sense.
Sure, I
just
guess.
A little bit.
Just barely.
What was the two cards?
It was Hot Red Dragon Archfield Bane or Impossible Inter Barrier Dragon.
Impossible Inter Barrier Dragon sounds fucking dope.
Wait, what was the first one?
Hot Red Dragon Archfield Bane.
Archfield or Archfiend?
Archfiend. Yeah. That's the real one.
That's the real one.
I'm talking to an expert. I can't fool them.
I've got that card.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
It is very stupid.
It is very stupid. A lot of stupid names. I've run out of made up ones, but some honorable mentions. We have, of course, DDD Super Doom King Caesar Ragnarok.
Yeah, man.
Let's see.
There's a whole category of cards that is just called D full stop, D full stop, D full stop.
Yeah.
And then name. It's very weird.
What is that?
I don't know.
I imagine it's something lost in translation. It's got to be something lost in translation.
Gaia Drake, the Universal Force.
That's cool.
We have...
I think I had that card.
Alec,
maybe. I don't know.
Male Branch of the Burning Abyss.
I was hoping it was just Alec.
Just Alec.
Alex. We have Alec.
We have Alex Smith. He's a card in the game. Jeez. Just some real, just take a dive into that.
Hey, by the way, it's just speaking of stupid card names, it's canon in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Universe that Seto Kaiba, when he got a bit old and got a bit like crazy with money, just made a card called Kaiba Man.
Cool.
That just lets you put a blue eyes white dragon in your hand.
That's so good.
Fucking hell.
Kaiba Man.
Kaiba Man. This is him with a visor on and long hair.
Anyway, well, that'll about do us for this episode. Thank you for joining us for our Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode. We had to get it out there. We had to get our Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm sorry, you know, if you're not into Yu-Gi-Oh!
We went pretty deep.
I'm
sorry, anybody respectable.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We went deep into some
look,
mechanics.
I enjoyed the last episode
lore.
And I hadn't read Song of Ice and Fire.
That's true.
So, you know.
Yeah. We don't make this for you. We make this for us.
It's for us.
Get your own podcast.
But if you do want to see more of us or listen to more of us, is that going to be your theme? Yeah,
get your own just podcast.
That's me in this one. I'm just fucking grumpy in this one.
We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on everywhere you find your podcasts. Our theme song is Purgatory and Friends by Kevin MacLeod.
Indeed.
We're lovingly hosted on That's Not Canon Productions. Do we have anything to plug? We don't, because we already did that.
Again, Baal by Vina Carver
is coming up in a couple of days. Come go see it.
By Bertolt Brecht. Our episodes drop every Tuesday. And in terms of social media, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram is where I would personally recommend following us, because that's where we tend to be most active.
It's good fun.
That or Facebook. But
yes. Thank you very much for listening.
I've been Curtis Lang.
I've been Riley McNamara.
I've been James Keogh. Browse responsibly.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.